You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on February 26th, 2026. And this week, we're talking about AI and how it will impact work in the future. Already, AI could put some technology workers out of business. But if it becomes more capable, how many other industries could be included in that? More specifically, for us in the church, could AI replace preachers? Now, that may seem far-fetched, but is it possible? We're going to consider that in our episode today. For links to the article that we're talking about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/02-26-26. Now for our discussion this week. About 2 weeks ago, I saw an article making the rounds on Twitter, or X as it's called now, that caught my attention. It was written by Matt Schumer, the CEO of HyperWrite, which is a startup in the AI industry. And the article discussed the huge leaps that AI has made and that it is poised to replace many jobs. And the list of industries that he included in the article included law and finance and accounting and medicine and on and on and on. Here's a portion of that article. I've always been early to adopt AI tools, but the last few months have shocked me. These new AI models aren't incremental improvements. This is a different thing entirely. And here's why this matters to you, even if you don't work in tech. The AI labs made a deliberate choice. They focused on making AI great at writing code first, because building AI requires a lot of code. If AI can write that code, it can help build the next version of itself, a smarter version, which writes better code, which builds an even smarter version. Making AI great at coding was the strategy that unlocks everything else. That's why they did it first. My job started changing before yours, not because they were targeting software engineers. It was just a side effect of where they choose to aim first. They've now done it, and they're moving on to everything else. The experience that tech workers have had over the past year of watching AI go from helpful tool to does my job better than I do is the experience everyone else is about to have. Law, finance, medicine, accounting, consulting, writing, design, analysis, customer service. Not in 10 years. The people building these systems say 1 to 5 years. Some say less. And given what I've seen in just the last couple of months, I think less is more likely. 12 days after he posted that article, it had received 84 million views. So he definitely struck a nerve there with that article. AI is new and powerful, and we have not even begun to reach the limits of what its potential is. This has a lot of people worried that their jobs could eventually be replaced by AI. Well, that made me wonder. Will AI replace preachers? Short answer is no. AI will never be able to do the work of a preacher as it is described in the New Testament. However, AI could make it more difficult for some to continue to receive support for their work as a preacher. And we'll get into that as we go on. But let's notice a few points. First, God's plan is for the gospel to be preached by men. We often make this point that preaching is to be done by men as opposed to women because of passages like 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 that says a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. The Apostle Paul was the author of that, and he wrote that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He also wrote to the brethren in Corinth and said, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves just as the law also says. So from these passages, clearly preaching is to be done by men. That's what God expects. But it's more than that. It also includes the fact that preaching is to be done by men as opposed to machines. God's design is that preaching is to be done by those who can make sacrifices for their brethren. As Paul said to the brethren at Corinth, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. Preachers naturally make sacrifices to do the work of preaching. That's part of God's design. Preaching is to be done by those who can carry the gospel from one place to another. In writing to the Romans, Paul said, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. God's design is that the gospel be preached by those who can go from one place to another. It is also his design that the gospel be preached by those who can set a proper example for others. Paul told Timothy, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." Timothy was a young evangelist. He was to set an example. And Paul made a similar point to Titus, another young evangelist. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And also, God designed preaching to be done by those who could be held accountable or disciplined. When Peter had to be rebuked, Paul was willing to do that. In Galatians 2 and verse 11, it says, "But when Cephas," another name for Peter, "came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, 'If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?'" When Peter was wrong, Paul was able to confront him. And there's also a principle in his instructions to Timothy about rebuking those who are elders in the church. He said, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all so that the rest will be fearful of sinning." Now, AI can't do any of those things. AI might be able to look up and arrange and display information, but it cannot make sacrifices, it cannot set an example, it cannot go to those who need the gospel, and it cannot really be held accountable. Therefore, AI cannot replace a preacher who is doing the work that is described in the New Testament. But what about using AI in preaching? Is this something we can do, or should it be avoided altogether? Now, I believe that AI can aid in Bible study by doing word searches or looking up definitions. In this way, it's being used like a concordance or a Bible dictionary, only faster. It can also provide helpful and often correct information about historical settings or timeline of events or things like that. But remember that it is not perfect. Just like anything else that you might see online or read in a book, not everything necessarily is correct. You want to verify, you want to check sources, you want to make sure that it is correct before you assume that it must be right. But AI should not be used to create sermon outlines or sermon notes or class material or things like that. And if you're a preacher who's doing this, realize that anyone can do that. And this gets to the point that I mentioned earlier about how AI could make it more difficult for some to continue to receive support for their work as a preacher. In other words, preachers who rely too much on AI, not as a tool but as a crutch, are the ones who are in danger of losing their job because of AI, and for good reason. So if you are a preacher, I want to talk about four ways that you can make sure that you are not replaced because of AI. Number one, do the work of study and sermon preparation. Paul told Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." If you fall into the habit of letting AI write your sermons, and you just take the outline that spits out and preach it, anyone can do that. Why would a congregation pay someone to do the work of a preacher if they cannot or will not write their own sermons? And as a side point, this also applies to sermon outline books or websites that contain sermon outlines. Now, there's a place for those things, and I post my sermon outlines online for people to use, and as a reference, I own books that contain sermon outlines. Most of the ones I have were given to me. But I occasionally get ideas from sermons that others have shared, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. The problem is when someone else's work, whether another preacher or AI, becomes a substitute for us doing the work of studying and preparing to preach ourselves. So in the age of AI, make sure that as a preacher, you are doing the study and sermon preparation yourself. Number two, do the work of equipping the saints. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. This is part of the work of an evangelist or of a preacher. AI can generate a lot of helpful information for people, but it cannot pass on wisdom that you have acquired over years of experience. It cannot provide any real encouragement for others, and it cannot really hold anyone accountable. So if you want to AI-proof your job and not risk losing your job as a preacher to AI, make sure that you are equipping the saints. And also make sure that you do more than just public preaching and teaching in the assembly. One example of Paul doing this was when he was in Athens. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day those who happened to be present. This wasn't in the assembly, it wasn't among Christians, he was just going out and teaching and preaching to whoever would listen to him. Now, for us as preachers, if all we're doing is preaching on Sunday and teaching a Bible class when the church assembles, it would not be too hard for someone else to come along and use an AI-generated sermon outline or class notes and make our work seem unnecessary. Now, I am not saying that they should do that, and I'm not saying that it would be just as good as what you might do, but someone could take 2 minutes to use AI to generate a sermon outline, spend an hour looking it over and reviewing it, and then be ready to preach it. I'm not advocating this, and I'm not saying that it would be good as what you or I might do through our own study and preparation, but it could be done. And if all we're doing is preaching and teaching in the assembly, then our work may not look much different to the average church member. So there are other things we can do and should be doing, depending on our opportunities and our abilities, as we do the work of a preacher. This could include writing, having Bible studies with people, making videos, doing in-person evangelism like Paul was doing there in the marketplace, and on and on. There are lots of things that we can do to help spread the gospel, to help plant the seed among those who are around us and try to reach others with the truth. And then finally, number four, be personally involved in the lives of the brethren. When Paul met with the elders from the church at Ephesus, he reminded them of how he met with them and taught them from house to house. In Acts 20 and verse 20, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. Now, we understand all Christians have a responsibility to provide regular encouragement to their brethren. The Hebrew writer talked about this in Hebrews chapter 3, where he said, Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The type of encouragement that he's describing there necessarily includes being together. And the early church did this from the very beginning in Acts chapter 2. They were together. Acts 2:46 says, Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. This is not a special work for preachers. It's something that all of us do as Christians. But as preachers, we do need to be doing this. And AI cannot replace that. So in summary, preachers who are faithfully carrying out the work of an evangelist, as it is described in the New Testament, cannot be replaced by AI. However, those who portray themselves as preachers while allowing AI to do their thinking, their studying, and their writing can be replaced. And they should be. Not by AI, but by someone who is going to do the work of an evangelist. AI can be a helpful tool like books or Bible study software or websites or things like that. Those can help us, but AI can never do the work for us. And we must not try to think that we can outsmart it and say we can use this for that. Now, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this episode to be interesting and helpful. For links to the story we talked about and some other related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/02-2626. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, that option is there for you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you're interested in seeing the script for this episode, that is available on Substack. The link will be in the show notes if you want to check that out. And then if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next time.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.